For some people, I guess.
For some people. Not everybody.
All right, bring us in, Jacob.
All right, welcome back to another episode of This On Us Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's the three of us. Gabe, unfortunately, had some car troubles, mm-hmm. which fucking suck. Nobody likes car troubles.
Hey, but he's covered, though, so.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Father's Day, and Cliff had plans. So, happy Father's Day to Cliff and to myself. And today is just John, myself, and...
Hi.
Hey, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
How's it going, guys?
Yeah, how is it going? You played 27 holes on Friday.
Oh, yeah. I was out there, so, okay, so...
Did you really just have to... He, like, flexed. Like,
it's interesting, though, because, like, again, we said this last episode, which you'll hear it when it comes out, but, like, I feel like I'm, like, adapting to each sport that I do, and it takes me maybe about...
You're an athlete. That is why. There's no, like, you're athlete.
That may be it, too, but, like... Yeah, so the other day I went for 9, and I'm like, you know what? Let's just go around again. Like, first practice round. Then I went around again. I'm like, okay, feel pretty good about this. And I'm like, man, I'm not tired. I could go home, but what am I going to do at home? Let's go around again. Fuck it. So I did 27, and the first time I shot 11 over, and the second time it was 18.
18.
Yeah, because I was literally just picking my head up too soon.
You were pissed. I can tell that whole round. You were pissed. Like, because we follow each other on this app. We're not going to name it because we're not sponsored by them. But I seen his second round, second 9. I was like, dude, you did ass. Like, I texted him. I said, bro, what happened?
Yeah, I was a whole six-pack of ass if it ever existed. So, and then the third round. I shot a 15, so right. Okay, it came back down a little bit. So, like, roughly I averaged about 14 okay. 6 or 8, one of the two. So, like, for me, just starting out, I feel like that's really, really good.
And I just want to go back to last year when I first showed you guys about golf. I'm like, just try it. You guys each looked at me and was like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, we're not going to try it.
Who said that?
Yo ass, now look at you. You got a whole line in the works over here. You got freaking... I played 27 holes on Friday.
See, but it's like
that's a lot
over here. You over here got happy. Got a steal at a garage sale. I'll let him get the details, but got a steal, and he's excited about that stuff now. So it's like, okay,
for sure.
I'm not gonna lie though, because like the whole reason I do golf though, because it's like it's a good way to solve your problems. It's a peaceful way to solve your problems. Because like again, when you approach a shot, it's like. That shot happens, you fail. So it's kind of forcing you to like, how do you respond to failure on the first shot and come back and like hit the next one even better?
Mm.
So like psychologically, it's like making me figure out like, okay, this one might not go my way, but the next one, let's focus in on that one. Because you never know, like each you got to take your shots.
Well, yeah, and after that shot's over, it's like, okay, what's this current situation? What do we got to do now? Yeah. What club do I have to use? How hard do I got to hit it?
Mm-hmm.
Golfing is a lot like parenting. You're not always going to make the right choices. You're not.
Mm.
But when push comes to shove, you can be there and be like, okay, bam, we're here, we're there, we got it done.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
true. I feel that. I feel that.
Journey, just you know, it's all about journey. Relate journey to golf too.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, and on the whole nutshell though, we do golf, and like it's kind of like I guess like with age too, like the older we're getting, like this sport kind of like slows you down and like it's not so hard on your body in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Now see, you say slow you down, like bro, when I get out there, I feel like I'm always in a rush, and yes. That's my problem. And I know that other people on the courts are like, eh, I don't even care. There was a guy that was behind. I went golfing like a month ago. And the guy was like, it was the back nine. He was behind us on the curve and on the turn, or whatever. And we all like went and took a piss. We came back, and he was like waiting in his. He was like waiting for his people. He was just like waiting. He was like, oh, I got up there. I got my cover off. I was getting like all like
you're in a rush to go home.
Yeah,
tee off,
yeah. Because like. He was waiting there. He's like, oh, dude, don't even worry about it. He's like drinking a beer. He was like, don't even worry about it, man. I'm good.
Yeah, there are some like when you're out there. You can really just like they understand it. Look, you know, I know you've got people in front of you that are taking. So it's like it's refreshing to be like, okay, but you do that shit a lot.
I do.
You do your great driving, but like anything after that, it's like
no. So the clubs that I got, they were it's a set of TaylorMades, and the set that I have now is
bronze TaylorMade.
It's a nice set. And the comparison of just the irons alone, it's like they the face of the nine iron compared to the two, there's like a maybe like a quarter of an inch, if not more, on the new club, like a new like more face. I don't know. I don't know why that is. I don't know what.
Do you know what year these clubs are? Or are they just like?
I don't know. They're called Fire Soul. Is the is TaylorMade Fire Soul?
You looking this up, Jake? Okay.
It's a nice head, and I'm left-handed, so it's like the whole thing of I love garage sales, and I tell people all the time, you got to go to a garage sale. You never know what you'll find. And Abigail pointed these out. She's like, "There's golf clubs on the ground over there." I'm like, "I didn't even see them." And we walked up there. I saw immediately that they were left-handed. And I'm like, "Oh, I'm in."
So it's like meant to be.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Is it a complete set?
It's a, yeah.
Dude. Okay. Oh. Yeah, you got it for 30?
30 bucks. Yeah. With the case and with the travel case. Oh, yeah. With the bag and
that travel case was nice. I was like, this dude got a travel case? I was more enthused about that opposed to the deal that you got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can't wait. We're going to go golfing a little bit later, and we'll see what we do.
Let's see. I projected to shoot under 100 today, so.
So some of the clubs that you got with that set go by itself for $27.
Okay. I think I have 9 clubs in total. I got like a rescue club. I have a driver, but I'm not going to use the driver probably.
So the whole Firestone Iron set sold June 15th for $75.
Well, hopefully I got a little bit of a deal on it then.
So you got it. Well, because then you got to take into effect of the case.
Oh, the case. Oh, there's the bag. There's covers for each one, but there's. There's the head covers.
Okay, so while we're on this golf topic, let's just...
I think that's just how...
Let's kind of dive into it. Okay, so side note, Jacob is wearing golf merch that will be coming out this July. And also, we're going to say this, so it's recorded for you, buddy. Damn. Jacob is the president of this golf line.
Hello, everybody.
So anything bad happens, put it on him. So very excited for this to happen. Just a sense of community, honestly. In the golf community, because it's so many people that do it, and like we're all collectively not the best,
mm-hmm.
but it's one of those things where like you just go out and do it.
Yeah, that's definitely, pretty much it.
Definitely,
yeah. So for me, it's more so like I feel like it's more spiritual because like I'm outside in nature and like I'm not so connected to my phone. Yeah. Even though we use the phone for like keep score, but like just being out there in nature and like hearing the birds chirp and just seeing like deer run across and the flock of ducks, it's always. I almost hit a duck twice. I got chased down by a duck the other day too. Where were we at? We were at Fox Creek.
And you got chased down by a
goose. I want nothing to do with this duck. You're protecting his babies. So I'm like, I get
that
it.
That goose came at you like it looked at you, and then it like started to do like the whole fly.
I
was like, that's gonna kill me.
I just leaned to the side like, oh.
It did the little thing. That's, like, so that's the like the attack. Like yeah, it's trying to intimidate.
Yeah, I was intimidated.
Bro.
He said I was intimidated.
I wanted no smoke with that duck.
So. That shit dude, worked.
It was a goose. It wasn't a duck.
Same family.
Same.
So, they all cooked the same. They like jigging the meat.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah. But, so what do we have today, gentlemen? Topics.
Golf. I guess that's a majority.
So like golf and just like another word we were kind of like pondering on was trust.
Mm-hmm.
How do we establish trust, even like in golf, or just where does trust come from?
I think just off the top of my head, I think trust kind of comes from a sense of almost like reliability in a way. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
being reliable, that means you can be trusted. You can. Someone can trust you, or it's like there's multiple like ways to like think about that. Like
it's multi-level too. Like people can trust you to like the first extent, and like you can call that like trusting like an acquaintance.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got trust like our trust, or you know trust you have with different family members and stuff like that. So it's like I've been guilty of having good trust with people, but also not having good trust with people. Because of the fact of like if it's my effort or if like I get caught up, you know, it's doing a bunch of different things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're like my trust might not mean to person A it does to person B.
Oh, okay.
Because I've given different trusts to dish it out so many different times where it's like then I got to reel it back in like, okay, what can I really do?
Mm-hmm. And trust is kind of fragile too.
Dude, trust is very fragile.
You know, I think I hate to keep like I hate to connect it back to reliability. Like I feel like if I can't like rely on you, then I can't trust you. You know, there was a couple instances like last year. I had something where like a family member I trusted them to do something and be there for me, and they weren't, and it was just like, okay, you know.
Yeah,
and that's deep because it's like a fan, you know, it's not just.
Oh yeah, that hurts way different.
Yeah, it's not
when you try like when you open your trust up to someone and they break your trust, mm-hmm. and it's like once you kind of break a trust, it's like mm-hmm. you kind of really can't come back from it.
Well, I just thought about this. Like, what about like you think like a trust like a valet? You're trusting a valet driver to drive your job, car,
not like drive off and steal your car.
Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. right.
That's a trust in itself.
That's a transactional trust. There's an emotional trust, transactional trust. There's a lot of different. Kind of like intelligence, you know. I can trust you guys with just trust. I trust all around because we've been friends for so long. We're brothers, you know what I mean? We're family.
Mm-hmm.
But like I used to, like, you're trusting a cashier to give you the right change through the computer screen, right? You know,
I don't trust them either. I did my own calculation before I even get up there. I didn't have the taxes. I'm like, I know how much I get back. I might tip you a little bit if I'm like 3 cents off. You got it. You're working under wage. I get it. So, you know.
Underwork, underpaid.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, trust is such a volatile thing, though, too.
Mm-hmm. Because people can take advantage of that, too.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You know,
especially if you're a nice person.
I've had people, I've had a sibling take advantage of my trust or my niceness or just stuff like that. Like, I even caught him on it. I was like, hey, look, you're always like, if I say I'm going to get point A to point B, that does not mean we get, oh, we got to make this step real quick. Oh, we got, bro, one destination. I'm trying to go here to here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trusting you to trust me. Like, this. Let's, you said this, mm-hmm. but then you do this.
Yeah.
How can I trust you to give you right now? Because there was times, no, I'm not, why?
So can we kind of talk about, like, for men, in a sense, because I feel like men don't really talk about this, like, our trust level with, in friendships, relationships, choosing your partner, like how does that work? Like, because you said it earlier, alluded to, like guys do have like kind of frail egos.
Fuck yeah, we do.
So it kind of goes into like, do you trust your ego to lead you in the right way? Because it's only there to kind of protect you in a sense. But at the same time, it's like your ego kind of allows you to be this other thing that needs to happen.
So.
Well, it just depends. I mean, it really just depends with having an ego. That's kind of your ego's like you, you know, and your aura, your selections, your choices are kind of what make you. So, I mean, people could be, you know, making decisions that are all bad decisions, and I don't know. Does that make sense?
It does, and yeah. It's kind of like that's a scary part though, because
I think
any one of us can turn a switch.
Yes.
Humans in general are like the most unpredictable creatures because, again, like we have
decision making,
all decision making,
and we have thumbs,
yeah,
so we can do shit.
But no, like how you guys said, like
we can do shit.
You can have that trust with people and have those trust relationships, but sometimes, like, if something's not flowing or if like how you go about things don't. Is not computing, like how people say your math's not mathing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like I've gotten to that point to where I don't know if this is like me having trusting relationships to where I've adapted to what they've told me,
mm-hmm.
or just taking in or being like a sponge in different environments and teaching me how to react or how to proceed with how I'm thinking, because it's like I try not to have time for bullshit anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I try to separate the bullshit.
You try to just limit. It's gonna be bullshit everywhere. Limit, but you try to just limit
and be like, try to have a clear line in my head. If the situation arises and it's not clear cut straight, then it's like,
mm-hmm. or if you're out of control, but don't have control,
right,
of the situation,
right. Then it's like, you know, I just gotta deal with the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
But like for situations I am control of, like I trust myself to be like, look, this is how we gotta do it. You know, this is how we just got to move on with it.
It's confidence.
Keep going.
Yeah, you got to have confidence for sure.
It took me a while to keep confidence like this, man. I think that's part of fatherhood.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, again, because with fatherhood, like this little person is trusting that you're going to make the best choices for them. And true. If you don't, it's like they become this like echo of choices that weren't made correctly. And then they live their life thinking like, this is who I'm supposed to be. This is the character that was created for me, instead of having their own thoughts and processing certain things. Like, I guess like as a godparent, I'm like a helicopter godparent. Like, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm just going to monitor like your behaviors and kind of like push you in a sense to the right spaces.
So I got a father figure from Parker today. Something he made from school. It was a hammer that he designed, a keychain that he gave me with a picture of him, and a little thing said, "Me and my dad." What does your dad like to do? With your dad? Go golfing. Then he was like, "What's something your dad always tells you?" He's like, "He always has my back." I just stopped. I was like, "Bro, like, out of all the things I tell you, that's the one." Like, I appreciate that, because you know, no matter what, no matter how much you piss me off, no matter how many times you chuck a car at me, he did the other day.
A car, like a Hot Wheel.
Coming and in then, hot. And then he got his first Nerf gun for his birthday yesterday. And I had to go back inside to get my wallet, and I had my glasses on. If I did not have my glasses dude, I would have a black eye right now. Dude, smoke me. That shit came out. That shit came out. And it hit the Oakley. Shota looks at me like trying not to laugh because, hey,
bro,
he got smoked.
He had you set. He had it set up on his arm.
Dude.
He's just waiting for you.
Bro. He's right in the crosshair.
And it's one of those ones, like, it has like a little motor. So like he has to hold a button and it's like, and then like he finally clicked it. And like he, like it's hit, the proportion is all off. And he was just like, tink. And it was like, tink. And I was just like, if I didn't have my glasses on right now, my eye would be bloodshot red.
Wow. Came out with some zing on it.
But yeah.
I didn't even know they do that anymore. Yeah. I didn't know they had like automatic.
But back to the point, like him saying I always have his back, like that right there, that was like, thanks. Like I needed that. And like to go back to golfing, like Sean's just like, you say you're mentally tired this week. Why do you want to go golf? I'm like, because golf, like I don't. That's my peace of mind.
You don't have to think a lot on your
golf. It gets me out there and just, I get my vitamin D. I just get out there.
She's like, okay. Yeah, I definitely appreciate you bringing that into my life, at least. I know Ash could probably say the same.
I don't appreciate that.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
No, yeah, I do. Because, again, like, it wasn't on my spectrum before, but, like, opening myself up to that window of possibility and options, it's like.
Y'all literally looked at me. Said, what the hell are you talking about? I remember it's the first round. You looked at me and said, okay. I was like, fuck.
You knew game time.
As soon as he said okay like that, I was like, fuck. He's going to come every day now. And sure enough, a year later, did freaking play 27 holes. Just did it.
DJ Khaled voice, let's go golfing. No, literally, like, again, it's a meditation too, because like just being out there in nature, connecting with different people. Like, I go by myself most times. People are like, why do you go by yourself? I'm like, why not? You have to go to a group to feel like you're included in something, but like, go out there by yourself just to see.
I try new groups, and then it's like, I don't know, just because like I go about it differently. Like, I have my own pace of play of like, either I can play with you or I can't play with you. Which I don't know if that's bad or good.
I mean, because so far I've played with different levels of competition. I've played with people that shoot maybe one under, two under, people that shot 20 over. Like, it's
a
wide spectrum.
Griff.
Yeah.
That dude. Shout out, Griff. We'll have you on, bro. But yeah, that dude.
I don't know you, Griff, but I'm challenging you.
Dude. All right. Hey. So me, you, and Mark got paired up with a fourth when we went to the Valley Eagles. We played 9. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm a member here. So we all kind of like perk up our ears, like, oh, yeah, member here. Oh. Then he pulls out the rangefinder. I'm like, oh,
immediately. And he pulled in I was already in a cart, and he pulled up there. He's going to jump in your cart. And I was like, as soon as I seen him, I was like, hey, look, I ain't going to lie to you. I am not good. So just hope this pace of play is all right, because he came with his bag out, all the head covers geared up. I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. All right.
Well. He had the Callaway hat. I was like,
gear. Yeah, gear could be.
That's like the kid at the park that's all dressed in like Michael Jordan apparel. He got the jersey and the shorts on.
But he's
actually.
No, I was aware enough to don't. They're not good. I was already aware.
Okay. Because the golfers, just like that, they'll have the whole bells and whistles.
No, I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I know I'm not that good. So I won't pull up in a Callaway hat. I'll pull up in this hat. Because, you know.
You're your own genius. You're your own greatness.
But, yeah, it's like, I don't know. I don't think. Just because I think if people like to look that good at golf course, they want people to look at their game. Yeah, so, like, you wouldn't draw attention to your bad game, would you?
True. And just to compare, like, so we had the first shot, you know, we all hit our first shots, and I landed closer to the green than he did. We landed basically
right
3 feet from each other.
Oh, yeah.
And I was close, but then it was my second shot. Fucking.
Oh, yeah. He
just drove, grounded it. But he was able to get his.
Didn't use his driver at all either because it was kind of breezy that day.
Okay.
Straight through it. Every fucking hole.
Yeah. So.
He bombed it. Couple shots, bombs.
So it's all about it's important for every shot. Like you said, every shot. What's next? What do I have to use? You know.
My second or third shot. Remember that one off the hill? And it like rolled right by the pin?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we were like.
Dude, yeah. I used the old gap wedge.
See,
and I rolled it on there, right around the pin.
Okay, so what is your worst club in your bag?
My hybrid, my 5-hybrid, or my 3-wood, because those are my two most inconsistent clubs. If I do a bad drive, it's usually how I lined up.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the club itself. It has to do with me. But
your alignment's off.
Yes, but for like my three wood and my 5-hybrid, just because I don't hit them consistent enough.
Mm. John, for you?
You know, honestly,
he doesn't have a 3-wood or a
5-wood. I don't even have a 3-wood. I need one. I need some. You know, I'm getting better with my high irons. At one point, like 9s and 8s, I was like, I can't. And then I think the toughest part of my game is my wedge or my putter. I'm having trouble. Like, I can read the green, but I can't, like, it's either I'm going too fast, going too slow.
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at your game too. Like, you do rush yourself.
You rush
even like
too fucking much.
How your feet are, like, you're kind of like
happy
your
feet.
You're on your tippy toes.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of being more grounded, sitting into your position and then grounding yourself. Just so a trick I learned is like, put the club in front of you. Stand like shoulder width apart and then feel where your balance is. Close your eyes and feel where your body's positioned. If you're more like to the back or to the front, that kind of goes, it's going to alter your shot. This is a game of details. So that's why I'm learning more and more. Like where you are is going to determine where your ball is going to go. My problem is keeping my club face open too much. That's why I slice all the time.
Going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in my bag, I say the worst club, my driver and my woods. But I hit all my irons spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
So
hitting them clean.
Mm-hmm. That's honey, if you can hear. But yeah. So what's the best club in your bag? I'm going to say my wedge. All my wedges. Mm-hmm. Pitching wedge. I just bought a 60-degree wedge.
My gap and my gap and my 60 and my 8. I can all hit pretty solid.
Yeah, so from 7, even 6, 7, 8, 9, sand wedge, pitching wedge, and 60 degree. Those are my clubs.
Nice. Gap, yeah, my gap, my 60, and my 8, I can all hit pretty good. And my 5, I can hit pretty well.
Nice. You know me. My driver is probably my best.
Oh, yeah.
Sneaky
good drive.
Yeah, and I think my driver in like my like 5 or 6 is like, I'm like confident enough with those.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, when you're farther out, you can just kind of like, if I'm 200 away, I'm like, all right, I don't have a 3 or 5 wood, so I gotta like.
So if I'm 200 away, I'm going to use.
I'm using something low.
Driver off the deck.
Driver. No, I'll probably. Use,
no, I'll probably, you're in the fairway. You're in the fairway 200 yards out.
I'm gonna use 8.
8? I'm using like a 4.
I'm using a 5.
Yeah, 4.
Hmm.
Maybe. Interesting. Maybe even like, yeah, 3 or 4.
It's because I know the power I have in those lower clubs. Like, because the face is like.
Those are your long irons, yeah.
I know I'm going to carry. I hit my 3-iron the other day. It carried.
I'm learning how to flop my 60 degree. I'm learning how to flop it really well, actually, and chip it really well.
Yeah, no, I never thought I would become this obsessed with it though, but like,
I know you didn't.
I'm happy about it.
I really, dude, it's so funny. Dude, what's the time? I don't even know what time. I think it's time for the.
Yeah, we're probably about there.
MH check. How you feeling this week, buddy?
All right, 1 through 10. How am I feeling?
Yep.
I.
Damn, you're strong.
I'm probably at like a 9.
Ooh.
I'm feeling pretty good. Yeah, life's going pretty well. Again, like, life is peaceful. It's going exactly where I want it to be. I mean, I'm not low. I'm not too high. But, like, yeah, 9's probably spot on. Of course, I need some food in my life. Always, though. So.
Always, always.
Fucking always.
Jacob, for you?
I'm a 7.5.
Why? What's up?
Man, it's just been a long week. A week and a half, Shanta's had, like, crazy mid-shifts. So, like, a lot of, like, just shit falling a lot on me. Like, I had to go to the grocery store because she wasn't even do weekly grocery shopping because we were busy last Sunday. So, and then her, with these mid-shifts, I was like, well, let me get stuff for the week. Then I forgot stuff. So, it's like, and I said the little stuff I forgot that makes such a big difference in my day, like paper plates. But that required me to do dishes almost every night. I fucking hate doing dishes. It's my biggest,
I like dishes.
But
I don't mind dishes.
So, I got them done and stuff like that. And, like, just making sure the house is upkeep and shit like that. To where it's like, because dealing with when it's just you and a 4-year-old and, you know, and then a client all day, like you, my mental is only gets exercised so much. That's why I try to text a lot of people, try to get conversations going and stuff like that. So it's like a lot of just like, by the end of the day, I'm tired mentally.
Exhausted.
I'm gassed. Mm. Physically, I don't feel as tired, but mentally, it's just like, I'm not trying to entertain anything else right now. So, but I find that like trouble finding TV shows now. Cause of, like, if I'm mentally, I don't have the mental, like.
Do you not binge watching anything?
I have trouble trying to, something catch my interest to keep my mental just aware. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, but.
You know what I would suggest? I mean, honestly, I don't watch any TV. I watch like How It's Made. And I watch like random
that's
YouTube.
That's my show.
Right. Yeah, like on YouTube, you just look up like there are like four or five minute videos on how a fucking, I don't know, how a ho-ho was made. I'm like, cool, I'm cool with that. So then that goes on for a little bit. I'm like, all right, I'm done. I don't need any more TV consumption.
I find myself watching like a lot of the wood cutting videos too, like how they like make a whole like pavilion or something, yeah, like, how to cut it and like make. I'm like, man, so
I watch a lot of like podcasts on YouTube more than anything. Like, I'll watch some like shows on Hulu and cable, but like most of the time, like,
oh, wait, podcasts like Beer Talks with Mark and Jake and
The Vibe.
I like those podcasts,
yeah, those are good ones on YouTube.
Those are all produced by IRE Media Group.
If you guys want to check those out, I mean, I don't blame you.
Plug
spectacular episodes too, so. Yes,
yeah, but. Yeah, that's all we have. John, what you feeling like?
You know, I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. Had a good week, and life's going really well. I really can't complain. And just if you would ask me a year ago, like if I would have been in this situation that I'm in now, like doing everything I'm doing.
Hell no.
Yeah, no.
I answer that for you. Hell no.
I mean, I wouldn't say hell no. I would just. John, no. Back then, John, he wasn't contemplating about what he wanted to do, but like he had an idea of what he wanted to come into his life, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And it came exactly how it was supposed to.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly how it was supposed to. And just knowing that, like, yeah, it happened when I was 29, you know, like being in like a serious relationship, like. It happened later than a lot of people. A lot of people are, you know, lucky to have someone in their early 20s, and I didn't, you know. So having someone now and shut up. But yeah, having someone now and even yesterday we were talking, or 2 days ago we were talking about me and her were talking about like, what about like you and like kids and, you know, some of your closest friends have kids. What's your thought on that? I'm like, well, it'll happen when it happens, and it'll be the right time. And if it's not, it's not, you know, if it's not the right time, I'll make it, you know,
right.
But going and saying like, yeah, it's great. I love being like there for my friends. And like yesterday at Parker's Park, like just trying to be involved with other people's lives. And so, having a partner there with me now it's been great. And
makes it a little easier on you.
You guys are cute together.
It's good, man. I feel really good. So I'm gonna say I'm 9.75, and we'll depend on the golf later. Will depend if I go to a 10 or.
He says he's playing 9 with us, but we're gonna get him to play 18 because we're assholes.
To be determined. We'll see.
So next time, it's been another episode of It's on Us.
You're all right, guys.
Bye, Mom.
See you.